Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself.
Hello out there, and happy Friday. You're tuned into KDNK, Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. The time is now 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Express Yourself. It's our weekly exploration of some of the wonderfully creative and cool happenings up and down the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. My name is Brian Colley. I don't have a cool DJ name yet. But we've got special guests lined up today, including some live music coming up later. So stick around. Don't touch that dial. More to come. They're doing it on the moon, y'all. In the jungle, too. Everybody on the floor now. Jumping like a kangaroo. So let the horn do the thing they do, y'all. First up, I recently got a chance to interview Sky Wineglass, who is the owner and founder of Sky Gallery in Aspen, along with fiber artist Megan Schimmick, who is one of three women artists showing work in the current exhibition up there, Curious Matter. And here we have the interview. Well, I'm Brian Colley, and I work with the Carbondale Creative District, and here on the phone with me, I've got Megan Schimmick, who is an artist, a weaver at Sky Gallery in Aspen, and I've also got Sky Wineglass on the other line. And could you both say hi and introduce yourself a little bit?
Hi, I'm Megan Schimmick, and I am based in Oakland, California, but I have some pieces at Sky's beautiful gallery.
Yay, and I'm Sky Wineglass, and yeah, I have Sky Gallery Aspen in downtown Aspen. Yeah, I'm so honored to have Megan's artwork up alongside two other female artists, and it's just a really fun show. For springtime, it's perfect.
Yeah, I haven't been up there to see it, but the photos I've seen flying through Instagram are drop-dead gorgeous. What's the show called? It's
Curious Matter. We all three kind of like came up with that title together because all of their work is just super organic and unique and strange and like sea creature-esque. And so we just thought curious. It's all really curious. So Curious Matter is how we came up with that name. So Dan Lamb makes really colorful sculptures that she created this technique herself. She carves out of polyurethane foam to make these really weird, like organic bubbly shapes. And then she mixes her own acrylic paint and mixes it with resin and does like hundreds of resin pours to get the perfect gradation of color. So all of her pieces are like little rainbows with glitter. Some of them have spikes on it. And just like watching how she perfectly manages the gradation of color is really impressive. Her Instagram is Sopopomo, Sopopomo. And she has a lot of process videos on there, which is fun to watch.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, a lot of them like dangle off of a bookshelf or table.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she's really fun to look at. And then Yelena James is a painter, and she makes these beautiful, intricate paintings with gouache and acrylic. And she really handles the gouache well. Gouache is like an opaque watercolor for people who don't know, but it's like very detailed, kind of like under the sea creature corally imagery. And it's just so beautiful in person. Like the detail and the color, it's all really vibrant, like pastels and magentas and dark blues. And her name is Yelena James, and her Instagram is just Yelena James. All three of these artists are really active on Instagram. It's really fun to have that resource to look at them.
And I love reading about Megan's your bio. You were raised in Michigan, studied history and nutrition before discovering your true passion in weaving. Can you describe for the radio listeners out there a bit about your work in this show?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a fiber artist, and so I do really large scale wall hangings and sculptures made mostly out of wool. And these pieces for this show, most of, you know, looking at the other artists' work and everything, I really wanted to integrate some more color. And these pieces, all everything that I make is very kind of organic feeling. My main practice is based on like organic movements and meditation. And these pieces are very like monstery kind of, like they feel kind of like Muppety. And I used a lot more color in these than I do sometimes. A lot of times I stick a little bit more to white or like neutrals, but I brought in quite a bit of pops of color in the show, and it was really fun. I have been wanting to use kind of more color and experiment, especially with really bright colors. So it was really fun to have an opportunity to do that. And it felt especially exciting right now because, like Sky said, it's, you know, kind of springtime. We're starting to get past 2020 and starting to see, you know, things starting to open up. And especially here in California, we just announced yesterday that bars and event venues can start to open again. So, and like we're all getting vaccinated and stuff. So I think like there's kind of this like hope on the horizon. So everything feels kind of like brighter days coming. And so that definitely felt like inspiration for this show, just new things coming into our lives.
Yeah. And I love the, they brought that up with the color because the other two artists do have a lot of color going on. And you studied tapestry and Navajo weaving.
Yeah. So when I very first started weaving, I was living in California, but I was visiting my parents in Michigan. And I took a scarf weaving class and just fell in love with weaving and started making wall hanging. And then at the time, back in 2013, I had to move to Arizona for a few months. And so while I was there, I took Navajo weaving. And it was so interesting because it's such a specific kind of weaving. And it was really cool to like just be in a place where it was part of like a tradition and lifestyle more than other, you know, like weaving where I was living in California was not something that many people I knew were doing. So it was really cool to be in Arizona where it was pretty common. And then I came back to California and I took tapestry weaving. And so when I was learning all of that, it was like very much learning the craft of weaving and learning all the skills, which then led into me experimenting and then working with the fiber that I work with now, which is a raw form of wool called roving. And so it's like unspun wool and it's very like soft and delicate and feels like clouds kind of.
Oh my God.
And so that's kind of how I got into what I'm doing now. And that was, I really started doing this kind of work towards the end of 2014. And then since then I've been doing this full time. But most of what I do now, I mean, certainly some of it, you know, there's some things that are kind of standard across weaving, like how you warp the loom and things like that. I won't go into all the technical terms, but, you know, there's certainly some things that are kind of standard. But Navajo weaving and like tapestry weaving are pretty structured and have many more like rules, I guess I would say, whereas the weaving I do now is very free form and I make decisions as I go. And so it's not really planned out. Whereas a lot more of like Navajo or tapestry weaving, like with tapestry, you generally have a cartoon, which is like a sketch kind of that you're working off of. And with Navajo weaving, like there's certain colors mean certain things and certain designs refer to certain things in the culture. And I don't want to speak too much about it because it's been a long time since I learned and I don't want to misspeak and say something incorrect. It's just a lot more kind of like structured and there's a lot more rules kind of involved versus like what I do now, which is really just become my thing. But, you know, for me, I think learning those other skills, like learning Navajo and learning tapestry weaving were so important because it really formed the base. It helped me to create a foundation so that I knew how to do everything else and like then could kind of play once I had the foundation.
Wow. And Sky, how did you find Megan? Were you familiar with her work before this show?
Okay, so I've been following her on Instagram for like 4 years. I just love weavers. I don't do any weaving, but I actually share my art studio with a weaver, and she has two looms in there, and it's just so intricate and takes a lot of expertise to make it. And I've always been really intrigued by, like, I know my friend who makes it. It takes like 80 hours to make a blanket. She does really tight-knit weaves, though, which I love. And then I also love Megan's, like, more chunky, cozy, dreamy. Like, all of Megan's pieces you just want to cuddle in. They're so soft and fluffy, and they're actually way bigger in person. Like, she sent me the photos, and I was like, oh, those are beautiful, and they're bigger than I thought, and I love them. Everyone loves them. Today has been a day where everyone's come in and shown interest in them.
You probably don't let people just touch everything, right?
Well, so part of like my work was like, it's been like about exploring like a lot of like uncomfortable things in life and like trauma and stuff like that. And so part of the thought behind my readings or the process or whatever is something you really, really, really want to touch, but you can't.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. You know, so it's like this really uncomfortable kind of like thing because you really want to kind of really get in there. I mean, certainly I let people touch something, so it's not something that you could snuggle with all the time because it would start to pill and shed and things mm-hmm. like that. So it would the wear of it would be pretty significant. But I did have a show a couple of years ago where we made all of the pieces where you could touch them and interact with them. And that was not something you normally experience in a gallery
mm-hmm.
Because most of the time you aren't supposed to touch artwork.
Exactly.
I know. And so many people come in and it's so tempting to touch this whole show because it's just colorful and playful. But everyone goes to touch it, and we always are like, excuse me, you can touch like a tiny finger on the side, but very lightly. But it's just so interesting how like usually in a gallery space, no one touches artwork. In this show, everyone immediately just hands to the artwork. I'm like, wait.
I can imagine Dan Lamb's is similar. I feel like I would really want to touch their work too.
Exactly, yeah. Kids come up and they're like, this is so cool, and almost pick it up. I'm like, hey.
And regarding the grief and healing after personal loss, you mentioned something about the trauma that you have used your artwork to respond to. Have you found anything during the past year that has really kind of brought more of that out in your work?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like last year, I mean, I think most people can say that was a pretty rough year. And it was, you know, really difficult. I'm a single mom, so like also taking on homeschooling and trying to figure out work was really pretty difficult. And the beginning of this year or the end of last year, I actually decided to quit drinking. And so recently I feel like there's been a whole new like awakening in me in the way that I'm approaching my art and the art that I want to do. I'm starting to work with some new materials that I'm really excited about also. And I think even for this show, making stuff that was really bright, I also like just making like really expansive stuff. I've started like working with Mylar. So it just like, I feel like a really new excitement and renewal. And I think a lot of it was because last year just felt very much like treading water, like getting through last year. It was like I was making art and going through the motions of it a lot because like that was really therapeutic. But I felt like my creativity was not really at its height. You know, it definitely felt like keep making, keep going, keep doing this. But I didn't feel like I was experimenting with new things most of last year. It was just kind of getting through it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally get that. I've talked to a lot of artists that have the same kind of experience, and we're not alone. But something you said about not being able to touch your work after a while, it would kind of fall apart. There's some kind of like, I don't know, parallel. I'm just going to throw this out there where it's like, you know, people that go into the hospital and you can't touch them and it's like, it's over and you want to go in there and like be cozy with them and give them comfort, like kind of like maybe the feelings that you get with your pieces, and it's just not possible.
So, I mean, part of like where this work really came from is, and when I talk about the grief and loss, in 2014, my father passed away. And it was pretty sudden, and I was very, very close to him. And right after that, I went through a divorce. And so it was very much this work came from going through that grief and trauma and like losing like this, you know, very significant, I mean, obviously my father, but then also like all this male energy in my life that was, you know, had like really grounded me. And it was very much this like, how do you, like, being in a space where you lost all of this stuff and it's like so close, but it's gone. And so that was a lot of, you know, kind of doing this moving meditation of my work since then. But yeah, it's very much that like you want to have that comfort, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a big, like a lot of it because of like kind of what that, especially in that time, what that like really signified for me.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. You talk a little bit about the beauty and vulnerability of the material, but that really comes out when you know the story behind it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Megan. That parallel is really good to know, and it definitely shows through your work.
Yeah.
I always find that I make more work when I'm going through trauma, and it's like so healing. And
yeah,
then I find out when I'm really happy, I make less work, so I need to change that.
Huh.
Well, you make different work. Sometimes it's when your creativity is, like, being filled back up, and then it can't come out, so you go through the trauma.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, an inspiring period where you're, like, getting filled up with creativity, and then the, like, releasing period.
Yeah.
Of creating. Yeah, I feel like right now I'm going to inspire, like, I'm gathering inspiration for my, because I've been, since I opened the gallery, I haven't made my own work as much, but I love having the platform for other artists.
Can you tell us a little bit about the other two artists in the show?
Yeah, so I chose the other two artists. I've been speaking with Dan Lamb for a few years, like 3 years. She was introduced to me by two different friends as well, who, like, one of them was a past client of ours, and one of them was a fellow art friend, and both of them told me to show her work, so I reached out to her, and we were talking about it, and since then, within the past 3 years, she's really blown up, mainly, like, her social media. Like, she has, I mean, she has amazing opportunities. She's making a sculpture right now for the Nasher Museum in Dallas, and she has, like, Miley Cyrus collects her work. She's just, like, blowing up more out there, and so it's interesting. It's, like, 3 years ago, she's like, oh, I'll definitely do a solo show, and then 3 years later, she's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so booked. I need to do a group show, and I'm like, okay. So I was looking for artists that they all complement each other and work well together, and I remember, like, always wanting to show Megan's work, and so I thought about them two together, and then thought, like, a three-person show would be fun. And Elena James, I actually discovered on Instagram. So I asked, yeah, just reached out to all three of them. And it was kind of short notice because COVID has switched stuff up. Like, Dan Lamb was supposed to have a solo show last June. Mm-hmm. We rescheduled it because of COVID, which then allowed her to have a group show. And yeah, I just chose them all together because they're all just vibrant and colorful and feminine and organic and super unique. And our last show in the gallery was Spencer Hansen, who makes really unique, fun little creatures that you actually can play with.
Oh, yeah.
But his work is made out of a lot of neutral, like, wood, ceramic. It's just all, like, white, beige, and brown. And so I feel like this contrast of a super colorful spring show has, like, brought a lot of people in. Like, people, we have really amazing windows at the gallery, and people keep coming off the street, so many people, and they're like, wow, the show's lured me in because the color is just so vibrant and fun. And I just love having a group show because every person who walks in the gallery, like, connects with a different artist on the wall. And it's always, like, one artist gets all the energy of the day. It's really interesting. Like, today, Megan, you've had so much energy. Everyone is, like, interested in different pieces of yours and talking about commission pieces and fun stuff like that. But, yeah. Wow. Also, I usually show female artists at the gallery. I like to represent mainly female artists, not only female artists, but just mainly. And so after having a male show, I wanted to have three ladies. Yeah.
That's so great. You're bringing in so many vibrant artists to the Valley. I'm so excited for you, Sky.
Thanks. Yeah, I always want to have a blend of, like, showing emerging artists and, like, giving them a platform to show in Aspen, and then also showing established artists to bring that energy into Aspen.
And how long is this show up?
It's up through the end of April.
Oh, perfect. And how can people find your gallery, Sky?
So you can come to the location, which is down, it's like a block from the gondola, downtown Aspen, 535 East Cooper Avenue, Aspen, Colorado. Or you can look us up on Instagram, which is Sky Gallery Aspen, and Sky is spelled S-K-Y-E. And then we also have a website, skygalleryaspen.com, S-K-Y-E. There's a few ways. I feel like we're pretty active on Instagram, so Instagram and the website are a good way, but coming in person is always the best.
And Megan, how can people find you and your work?
The best place, well, of course, to go if you are in Aspen and can see it in person, that's always great. I am very active on Instagram as well, and my Instagram handle is Megan Shimmick, and it's M-E-G-H-A-N-S-H-I-M-E-K. And then I have a website also, meganshimmick.com.
Yeah, I hope people will go see the show in person, for sure.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Great interview, Brian Cawley. That was really fascinating, and I hope everyone can make it up to the Sky Gallery. In fact, if you are up there April 3rd, you can take in Sky Gallery as well as Native American drum and dance exhibitions. So stay tuned. We've got Larry Yazzie in the studio with us for live performance and interviewing and conversation. And he's broadcasting this live on his Facebook page, Instagram page, Larry Yazzie. So welcome.
Hello. How's everybody doing out there?
Can you hear them all? They say they're doing great. It's quite an honor. Larry is from the Meskwaki Nation, which I am just learning about. Apparently, you are the only nation tribe that had this migration and is still a nation.
It's something that
nation.
We're very proud of. It's called the Meskwaki Indian Settlement. So back in 1857, we purchased our first 80 acres from the state of Iowa. And now we have over 6,000 acres. So we're the only settlement of its kind in the whole United States. And we're something that's we're very proud of.
That's wonderful. And that you are located in northern Iowa, Tama, Iowa?
Tama, Iowa. It's just about maybe an hour north of I-80, where we sit right between Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, and Iowa City, and Waterloo.
Wonderful. So for listeners out there who don't know, Larry Yazzie is a champion powwow men's fancy dancer, a flautist, an actor, a singer, the list goes on, an educator.
And a skier.
A skier now, and a TikTok star. Let's first start with your evolution into the person you are now. Obviously, there's a lot of tradition that was instilled in you from your upbringing. How'd that spark take hold and stay with you?
I like to tell the people that wherever I travel, I was immersed in my traditions of the Meskwaki people. Growing up in a community of our traditions and our customs and our ceremonies, you know, I was really encouraged to follow our traditions, especially by my grandparents, my mom, my late dad, and aunties and uncles. So it was always encouraged to me to learn about our Meskwaki ways. And so ever since I could remember, I remember going to our ceremonial feast with my mom as a small kid. And it's always ingrained in my heart and my mind. And even today, I can go back 50 years ago and remember going to ceremonial doings with my mom and my grandma.
Wow. And do you feel that those traditions are still carrying on in the same strength, like the people that you grew up with? Do they still honor and carry on those traditions?
Our community is very engaged with our youth. So it is taught in the schools, and we encourage it to teach the language and our lifestyle of Meskwaki people at home as well with the parents. And so we have to keep up with modern technology. So we have apps for language.
Wow.
And language programs, immersion programs in our schools. So it is. I'm very happy to hear that we're still encouraging our youth to follow our way of life as Meskwaki people.
It's really important, and so many traditions get lost. So it's very exciting to find how those traditions keep carrying on, because they are important. They're so important to our future. We're so excited to actually have a live performer in the studio. It's been a long, long time that we've been able to do this. What do we get to hear first?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to you and the radio station and the community for embracing my art here in Colorado. And I'm originally from the Meskwaki Indian Settlement in Tama, Iowa. And in Minnesota, I do perform quite a bit in the state of Minnesota because they support my art, my gift. And today I would love to play a little flute music for you guys. And this is something I've started playing about 10 years ago. And this is how I started out most of my shows, with the little flute music, and people love it.
That is beautiful. You know, it has such a calming presence to me when I hear this kind of music. It just kind of makes every muscle and artery and vein just suddenly feel at peace in a way. In your traditions, was that part of the concept behind this kind of music?
Well, long ago, I remember my grandparents, a lot of the elders would harmonize. They would sing as well, along with the flute or with the drum. And it was more of a singing folk songs and for the kids, for the babies, mm-hmm. to put the baby to sleep. Mm-hmm. They would sing harmony songs. And it's very, very beautiful songs, and sometimes they would use Meskwaki words in the songs, and it just sounds very, very beautiful. And that was inspired by a few elders who are no longer with us now, too. So I felt like I wanted to carry that on as well, especially the flute and the harmonizing.
So one of the reasons we are so lucky to have you here in the studio is because on April 3rd, people can see you live, as well as many others, at the Native American Drum and Dance Exhibition put on by Aspen Indigenous Organization on Saturday, April 3rd, between 4 and 5:30. So I'm going to mention that several times because it's a lovely event. It's been put on every year, mm-hmm. That I can remember anyway. And it's a very uplifting. There was a few years where we were inside and it was a powwow, more of a powwow type experience. But this year we will be outside. And as Larry says, it's going to be 60 degrees and sunny blue skies. And we have so much to heal and be thankful for after a year like this. I want to kind of jump in just a little bit in between the music to talk about fancy dancing and what that really is and the kind of performances one might see you put on.
Wow. You notice when you say fancy dance, I light up because it's in my blood. I love dancing. And dancing is a way to express yourself, whatever we're going through, right? And yes, you're right. It is a difficult time. We are going through a pandemic, and for a lot of people, it is uncertain. It's the uncertainty of what lies ahead. But I know that through music and dance can lift your spirits up. Dance can heal your whatever we're going through, whether it be the trauma or something from past experience or something that you're going through at the moment. And dance is prayer. The song is prayer. And dancing has always been an outlet for me. And I always tell people, dancing saved my life. I'm almost 55 years old, but I still dance fancy because it's a personal challenge. And I've won championships throughout the years long ago, but I'll still dance fancy as long as I can walk or run.
Well, let's talk about the challenge of it. Never having been a fancy dancer, what are the challenges?
It's the aerobic style dancing is the best way I can describe it. But at the same time, you have to keep in time to the rhythm of the drum. And we put on a regalia, beadwork, feathers that weighs up to 15, 20 pounds. So imagine having that weight on you and dance to an upbeat tempo and keeping in time to the rhythm of the drum. And it is a challenge because you have to know the song. You have to keep up with the drum beat as the drum beat progresses faster and faster. And you've seen some of the videos how, you know, spectacular some of these dancers can do. They can do cartwheels. They can do splits. I mean, I'm too old for that, but I still, Grandpa can still dance, though, I tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see it. I have been lucky enough to see your TikTok video. Which you say is at, what, 3 million?
3 million views, last time I checked, last night.
Wow, and you only made this
about a month ago.
Month ago?
Yeah.
It's very cool, everybody. And how might someone find your TikTok?
You could just follow me on Instagram, Larry Yazzie, or Facebook, or just do a Google search, and it'll take you to my videos.
Yeah, he magically transforms, and you really get that feel, though, just in that 15 seconds, which, you know, I haven't done much TikTok, but yours is what I imagine would be the worth of TikTok, where you get to see magic happen in 15 seconds, and you can feel that transformation.
My daughter said a while back, she goes, "Dad, you need to do TikTok. You would do well." And I didn't believe her. So I said, "I'm too old for TikTok." But it's really done amazing stuff. It just is an outlet for me to deliver the message. And that's what I want to do is reach out to different parts of the world and educate about indigenous people here in the United States.
So taking the dance aspect, do you find that there are, as time transforms, that you add in, or there are movements that are from the modern world that get interspersed with the traditional moves?
Well, yeah, especially with fancy dance, you can improvise. You can use. I used to love watching tap dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Even I have a few Michael Jackson moves in my dance. So, like I said, you know, it's a challenge, and it's also. And you're able to be creative at the same time and be creative with your movement, be creative with your regalia, the colors. And what inspires me is the colors and the designs, the contemporary style designs that I incorporate into my beadwork and into my outfit and regalia.
So it is about 4:34. You're tuned in to Express Yourself on KDNK. This is Amy Kimberly with you, and I'm in the studio with Larry Yazzie, and I think it's time for another live performance. Wait, we've got some drum now.
They say that the drum brings the people together. The drum is our heartbeat. Without the drum, we won't be able to do a lot of our ceremonies back home in our communities across the United States and Canada. And this is a drum that's made of elk hide, and it tightens up when it warms up outside, and it sounds very, very beautiful now. This is a straight powwow song. for a lot of you who never been to a powwow, you're more than welcome to check out a powwow. This is Larry Yazzie with KDNK.
That's right. A future KDNK DJ. I feel it coming on because we are very lucky to have you living in our midst now, hopefully for a long time. It's a great pleasure to have you here.
Well, I'll definitely be back in summertime too, right?
That's right, because this is very exciting news. Dance Initiative and Carbondale Arts are offering a Native Dance and Art Camp, and that's for ages 7 to 11. It's going to culminate at the Carbondale Mountain Fair, as well as some performance, live performance from Larry, and who knows what else we're going to cook up. But it's pretty exciting. I think it's a great opportunity, too, for youth to really be able to learn traditional ways and what it means to really honor your heritage. I think that's something that we've lost a lot of in our culture.
Absolutely. You know, that's what I tell the people is that, you know, we as Indigenous people, we're still here. We're still active. We're still alive. We're not just in museums or in textbooks. And I meet a lot of non-natives throughout my travels, especially from different parts of the world. And they can't believe that there are over 500 federally recognized tribes in the United States, you know. And so I tell them, you know, each part of the United States, there's you're walking on Indigenous land. So I've always made that point to make that land acknowledgement wherever you go here in the United States. Especially here in this Royal Fork Valley, this is Ute country.
Absolutely. So, what would be some of the kind of things that youth might learn in a dance camp with you?
Timing, rhythm, and creativity is the three main focal points.
Nice. Let's talk about the Native American Drum and Dance Exhibition, which is Saturday, April 3rd, 4 to 5:30. It's right in, is it in Wagner Park or?
Yep, right in Wagner Park by that big football field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the Aspen Indigenous, Foundation is putting this on. They've been around for quite a few years, and their mission is to increase awareness in the Roaring Fork Valley of Indigenous presence, history, and wisdom through cultural exchange and community education, as well as to support tribal members and grassroots Indigenous programs that facilitate social and economic development opportunities. They also put on the Shining Mountain Film Fest, which is generally in October. They're at Standing Rock. They help provide a youth equine therapy rides that I think run out of South Dakota, and many educational opportunities. So can you talk about where you fit into this and what is happening on Saturday, April 3rd?
Yeah, I met a wonderful lady by the name of Deanne Kessler, a French woman. She's lived here in Aspen area for over 30 years. And she came to a show I was performing at in Denver, Colorado, over a year ago now at the Denver Indian Art Market. And she was there looking for talent, looking at different types of talent that she could bring in for her exhibition and for her film festival. And I came in a year ago in April to do my first performance in Aspen. And since I've been here, you know, I've loved it. I love the mountains. I've always loved the mountains ever since I've been a little kid. And so I told Deanne, I said I would love to come back and help perform and also advise. So she brought me on as a cultural advisor for the Aspen Indigenous Foundation. So I'm helping her coordinate the dancers. Matter of fact, I have a brother coming in from Iowa. His name is Arlen Whitebreast, and my mom is coming in back. I brought her back in October. She loved it. She loves the mountains. She's 82 years old.
Oh, wow.
And she still works today at our casino back home in Iowa. She's in my book, she's the best fry bread maker in the world. Mm. So you have to try her fry bread.
Oh, nice.
So it's been a wonderful journey for me since I've been here. Since COVID hit, you know, it literally shut down my performances all over the country and different parts of the world. So I told Deanne I wanted to come out here and reinvent myself and work out and eat right and just hike the mountains, take in the fresh air. And ever since then, back in December, I've been here. I could see a transformation in my mind, body, and spirit.
Perfect. Well said. I think hopefully many people out here feel that. And I think there has been, through COVID, maybe a growing discomfort with people and just that the natural flows of the world aren't really flowing, and some people have lost touch and are a little more anxious. And it is that connection with nature, mm-hmm. that really helps set things right many a time.
Every time I go out, take a drive out here, it's a different scenery. You could look at the same mountain, but each day is different. How the sun hits it, how the clouds hit it, is just, to me, that's the creator's work.
So on Saturday, there'll be other performers that will join you. And this is next Saturday, April 3rd. Who are some? It's your family. Are there other performers coming from around?
There's a family from Colorado Springs, a mother, a daughter, and a son, Stephanie Jerome, and her son and her daughter, to be dancing the jingle dress and the chicken dance.
Mm-hmm.
My brother be dancing the grass dance. I'll be dancing the eagle dance and the fancy dance. And we have a drum group from South Dakota coming out here for the first time, Eagle Nest. Singers. So Deanne and I, we love giving opportunities to communities that have never really been able to travel or see a place like Aspen. So we love giving opportunities to dancers and singers.
That's wonderful. Will there be any things for sale? Will people be selling any items? I know I've gone up there different times.
And yes, CJ Bradford will be here too. She runs the Ute Museum in Montrose. Matter of fact, I went and visited the city of Montrose last weekend. Mm-hmm. I took a drive out to Black Canyon and I visited the Ute Museum. And beautiful museum, but I believe CJ will be here with some items too for sale.
Oh, that's great. And so let's have, do you think we could have one more song?
Absolutely.
All right, what are we going to get?
This will be another flute, a different type of flute. It's more of a higher pitch flute. And since I've been out here, I've also traveled to different mountains, valleys, and rivers, and I'll play my flute. And it's just beautiful to listen to the flute in nature.
Really beautiful stuff. Yeah, yeah. It's a great way to end the week, I must say, especially after driving across this crazy country of ours. And thinking about just the last year is enough to be able to come here and just take deep breaths and feel this. So thank you very, very much. Where can people find out more about you? Because actually, I know you're leaving here. You're going to be up at Glenwood Caverns. There's lots of opportunity to get to experience the artistry of Larry Yazzie.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And reach out to me via Facebook, Instagram, even TikTok. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. And if you ever want a performance by me or any of my dancers, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to come. I'm doing a store blessing in about an hour in Glenwood Springs at Bullock's. And that's another thing that I've been doing is people have been reaching out for me to bless their house or their space because mm-hmm. we need it now, right? Especially during this pandemic.
Absolutely. And then you're at Glenwood Caverns when?
Tomorrow at 4 o'clock on top.
So there's lots of great opportunity to get to see Larry Yazzie. I also, just another shout out to Deanne and all the amazing work she's been doing here and around the country, really, in making these connections. And I know that I have gotten to experience a lot of the wonderful things that Deanne has been bringing here. Very excited if anyone is interested in the music Mountain Fair. It's called Mountain Fair Native Dance and Art Camp because the kids will also perform at the Mountain Fair, which is the 50th Mountain Fair. It's going to be really exciting. You can sign up on danceinitiative.org to learn more. And that will include Art in the Morning at the Carbondale Clay Center with the Rosie Bell Mobile Maker Bus, and then Dance With You in the Afternoon at the Launch Pad. So do hope to see everyone out on April 3rd 4 to 5:30 in Wagner Park to just celebrate the life we have right now. It's a good one.
I enjoy it. Come on out and come see some live music, listen to some live music, and take in the beautiful dances. It's every outfit, every regalia is handmade, nothing store-bought. It's all made through prayers and medicine, and it's a good feeling to see those feathers out there dancing.
Have you made any of your outfits?
Absolutely, yes. I've made a lot of my own stuff, and that's another thing too during this pandemic is I've learned how to sew because we have nothing but time sometimes on our hands. And so at the same time, I was also being creative with my dance and started, like I said, started working out up here in a higher elevation. So when I went back home to Iowa about a month ago, I kind of went for a test run. And because up here we're at least, 7,000 feet elevation, and down in Iowa we're, zero. So it was a good test. So it is a good way to come and train as a dancer.
There you have it. Well, hopefully it's just the beginning of this strong connection between the Meskwaki Nation and the Roaring Fork Valley, and that we will see you out and about not only this Saturday or tomorrow or in the coming weeks, but throughout the summer, and especially with the education. The more that we can get this education and awareness out there about these our original people and who these lands really belong to, I think the healthier we will be as a civilization. So really, it's for the good of all of us, the uplifting of our earth as we know it.
We need to take care of our earth. We need to take care of our world, our Mother Earth. Treat her like your mother. That's what we are taught. That's how I was taught growing up, and a lot of our speeches from our elders, our ceremonies, that's the first thing they talk about is take care of Mother Earth and take care of yourself. Treat yourself like a temple. And that's what I truly had to do for myself a few months back. It's been over a year now for me. I've been on this new journey, and it's like a rebirth for me.
Great. Well, I think those are the most wonderful words to end Express Yourself with, except that we're going to play a Black Pumas song. And Larry, you want to introduce this song, and why do you love it?
Something about the Black Pumas, they have a really jive tune to their music, and I just enjoy different types of genres of music. And ever since coming out here to Colorado, I've really opened up my mind, and especially with music, and I really enjoy your radio station here, too.
Thank you. Here we go. Thank you, Larry Yazzie. Thanks to everyone listening far and wide. Black Pumas.